if we are going to go and tell the others about Jesus Christ, as we've been considering these past few weeks here at our church and our sermon series, Go and Tell the Others. If we are going to go and tell the others about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, we first must come to terms with the words of Jesus in today's text. These words are hard and difficult for us this morning. It's hard and difficult for me, and it's hard and difficult for you. And this is so because gospel ministry is hard. So even though these are hard words this morning, this is a hard message. This is a weighty message. There's absolutely grace in it too. Because the Spirit is with us. The Spirit points us to Jesus during this time. And even through hard and difficult words, there is grace abounding. I'd like to read to you the text one more time, and then we'll go ahead and get busy here. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Would you please join me in prayer? Lord, these are hard words for us this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be in and among this time, that you'd be working with people and you would be working with me, that you'd be teaching us and teaching me what it means to follow you. Please help us see that it is worth it to give up everything to follow you. And please have a mighty work in our time this morning as we study your word together. We love you and we thank you and we ask it in your name. Amen. So when we read through the Bible, when we read through the pages of Scripture, what we see is this. We see that God has a mission. In the very beginning, God created everything to be perfect, and that's hard for us to imagine when we look out into our world. I think if we're really honest with ourselves, there is darkness all about, and we go different ways about how to addressing the darkness. As the pastor Tim Keller points out so rightly, he says, many people, if not everyone, if they're honest with themselves, knows that there's darkness, but the difference is Christians trust in an outside source, Jesus, to be the light in the darkness, and then people who don't know Jesus take it into their own hands to make the darkness into light. They think they can push the darkness away. So that's the big difference there. And so we see in the beginning things went horribly wrong. Adam and Eve disobeyed against God. This is a big thing called sin. It's a huge deal. It's a divine trespass against a holy God. This holy, almighty, loving God who knows best. And for human beings to say, no, I know best. I know the way. I'm not going your way. I'm trespassing against what you've told us to do. This is what's brought brokenness and evil into our world. And ever since then, as early as Genesis 3:15, we see the mission of God unfolding. That even though God in his justice could have very well have done away with humanity and the world forever and started over, he set forth a mission instead to buy back those people who were apart from him and far from him. And this is the mission of God, and it's seen through all the pages of the Scripture, even when you don't think it is. The whole book testifies to the love story of a holy God interceding and buying back his people. Those who place their faith in him are bought back to a loving relationship with God. God is willing to save sinful people because he loves them. Now, fast forward to 2021, all the way through Genesis, all the way through the New Testament, 2,000 years after Jesus came, resurrected, ascended. Now we are here in Northwest Iowa in 2021. And God chooses to use his people, those who have placed their faith and trust repented of their sin, that thing I talked about earlier, repented of their sin and trusted in Jesus. He uses those people to spread his mission and the good news of the kingdom of God. This is how he chooses to make his light go out into the world. And so people, we, as Christians gathered here, we go out proclaiming his kingdom. The kingdom of God is a big word for saying the rule of God or the authority of God. It's an invisible kingdom. We go out proclaiming that he is ruler, he's the authority, and he has a message of salvation. And we do this so the others may be saved. Because the consequence of not placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the consequence of not repenting of sin is an eternity separated from God in hell forever. It's a big deal. It's a weighty mission. And he calls us to do it. Mission is hard. And gospel ministry indeed is hard. And we don't like to do hard things. I don't like to do hard things. You don't like to do hard things. It's just who we are as humans. In our flesh, we don't like to do hard things. Human beings struggle to give up their worldly comforts and treasures. And if I'm being really honest with you, in our fallenness and in my fallenness, it's really easy to point my finger at other churches and other Christians and saying they're not doing the hard things. But in reality, oftentimes I'm not doing the hard things and neither are you. Now, this is a sermon for me and it's a sermon for you. What does this message mean for us? Because it's so easy to shift the blame and point the finger at somebody else. But this message is for us today. Even though we struggle to give up worldly comforts, and even though we struggle to do hard things, even though we struggle to give up everything in order to follow Jesus, we see this today. Following Jesus costs us everything. No doubt about it. We cannot hold on to a little bit of this. We cannot say, I'll put Jesus in a box and I'll do the other part of my life the way I want to. No, following Jesus is letting him be the authority. Because God Almighty, as it says in Isaiah 9, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, he's the authority and he's worth following. He's worth giving up everything for because he's Almighty God. So following Jesus costs us everything. And even so, we should engage in gospel ministry. We should engage in it. Gospel ministry is hard, but we should engage in gospel ministry because we serve a Savior who first paid the price for us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. We see from our text this morning, gospel ministry is hard, but gospel ministry is worth it. Gospel ministry is hard, but gospel ministry is worth it. We see in our text here in chapter 8, verse 18, if you're following along, we get the context of what's going on here. Matthew records, now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go to the other side. They were at the Sea of Galilee. A crowd was coming around him, pushing in on him, and Jesus says, we need to go to the other side. We're going to get in the boat and go to the other side. And why this drastic change? Why this urgency to go away from the crowd? What's up with that? The reason for this is the call to follow Jesus is urgent. The mission of God is urgent. The mission at hand of saving sinners is of utmost importance. As we learned last week, as the hymn Brethren We Had Met to Worship says, death is coming and hell is moving. Can we bear to let them go? This is an urgent message. We need to be willing to follow immediately. So Jesus says, we're going to the other side. You'll see in the Gospels, his mission was not to draw crowds. We oftentimes get so concerned with crowds in our culture, but he, in fact, did things to drive the crowd away. It wasn't because he was hateful or unloving, but because he had an urgent mission. And only those who would follow him would be fit for that mission. It's not just sit back and gaze upon it and let's watch the show. Jesus was not about that. He was not about the show and about being up on a stage with all kinds of lights and smoke machines behind him, but he was about a real mission to save people that are bound for an eternity separated from him in hell because of their sin. That's why the mission is so urgent. That's why Jesus is saying here in verse 18, come on, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side of the sea here. The mission at hand of saving sinners is of utmost importance. The mission, the call to follow Jesus is urgent. And it's costly. Those who are eager to follow Jesus, or those who are apprehensive to follow Jesus, we find the same thing. The call is still the same. The call to costly discipleship or the call to costly following Jesus is the same. It demands everything of them. We see two people here. We see the eager person. We see a scribe, and a scribe was a teacher of the law in the Jewish culture. And the scribe comes up to him and says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." He seems insistent on following him. He seems eager to follow him. And Jesus follows this up as he's trying to go over to the other side of the sea, get away from the crowd. He says to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He's saying, if you're going to follow me, those comforts that are so important to you will have to be sacrificed, because I go around, this mission is so urgent and the mission is so important, and I love these sinners so much that I don't have a place to lay my head like the foxes do. I don't have a place to reside. I have nowhere to lay my head because I love humanity so much that I'm on this mission to save them. And we see the other portrait here. Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." And in this culture, this disciple could have very well have been, as commentators mostly agree on, firstborn son, and firstborn sons of the Jewish culture, or ancient Palestine, had an obligation to bury their father, bury family members. And Jesus is saying, and potentially this father might have not died yet, but he's waiting around so that when he does pass away, that he's around to bury the father. And Jesus is saying, I don't have time to wait years. You must follow me now. A lot of people get offended by this verse when Jesus says, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. In the Aramaic, it would say, leave the spiritually dead to bury their physically dead. Leave the spiritually dead to bury their physically dead. Jesus is saying, come follow me. Be spiritually made alive. And let those who are perishing apart from me to bury their dead. Because the mission I am on is so important. The mission of saving sinners is so important that I'm going to ask you to give up everything. I'm trying to go across the sea here. I'm moving. And I don't have time to sit around and wait for followers to come with me on this mission. Before being a pastor here, before accepting the call here at Grandview, I worked in residential treatment for children and youth. It's a building where children and youth live that have all kinds of mental health issues, all kinds of issues with aggression, issues with trauma, and they come and live in this building, and where I worked, they lived there about 2 to 3 years. It's very intensive treatment. Probably the second most intensive treatment facility in the state of South Dakota I worked at. And with this job came a lot of high stress. With this job came a lot of emergency situations. I had an earpiece on at all times, and before I was a counselor there and had an office and everything, I was on the floor all the time dealing with all the crisis situations. And when I would get a call in my ear that said staff to east or staff to boys or staff to west, I dropped everything, and without even taking time to think, they taught me to sprint as hard as I could to get to that unit. Because more than likely there is an aggressive child or a band of aggressive children who are trying to hurt other children or other staff. I had to respond immediately. There was no time to delay. And when I became a case manager, I got an office and I got a computer and all the rest, but I still had the earpiece in my ear. and I would still get called to emergency situations. And I remember being in the middle of paperwork or being in the middle of this, that, or the other thing. But when I got that call that would say staff to East or staff to Boys or staff to West, I would have to drop everything. Even though I didn't want to, I'd have to drop everything, not even thinking about it. Race to the crisis. And when I was racing, I remember racing through those halls, and I did not have time to think about it. I was operating off of pure adrenaline. I didn't have time to think about what am I going to do when I get there, what am I going to see. I had to race there, and whatever I saw, had to deal with it. And Terry, I'm sure as a police officer, you can identify too. It's the same sort of thing. It's the same thing with our Christian faith. When we get that call from Jesus in our earpiece, as it were, when we get that call from Jesus to go out to someone in our community, or we get that call from Jesus to go outside these four walls, we don't even think about it, we just do it. We don't think about the things that might be keeping us from it, we don't think about the things that, oh, I'd rather be doing, but when there's someone who is far from God who we're supposed to go to, we drop everything because it's an emergency. The emergencies I encountered were punching and hitting, but how much more of an emergency is it to be separated from a holy God? How much more of an emergency is it to die in your sin? How much more of an emergency is it to be separated from a loving God forever and be under the punishment due to that sin? So we ask ourselves, what's keeping us from dropping everything and going? What's keeping me from dropping everything and going? And what's preventing us from dropping everything and going? See, here in our culture, in church culture, and here at Grandview Covenant Church, we have a rich history. We've been to this building a long time. There's all kinds of sorts of cool things that I've been learning about the history of this congregation and the traditions that we have. And those are great things. But if Jesus came and told us to drop all that and go out into the community, would we be willing to do it? If it was preventing us from going to those in the community who are lost? If we individually are dealing with pride and arrogance and self-centeredness, that kind of pride that prevents us from being other-focused, would we be willing to let go of our pride if Jesus says let go of it immediately so that you can deal with that person and preach the gospel to that person who is right next to you struggling and is lost? Would we be willing to do that? Would I be willing to do that? Would we be willing to give up all the comforts and all the material possessions and money if it meant going to someone who was in need? Would we be willing to drop everything so we could immediately go to our community here in Lyon County? Would you be willing to drop everything so you could go to your friends, family, or acquaintances to go with the gospel? I don't know what that might be for you today. But each of us individually, me as a pastor and you as a congregation, you individually, God knows where you're at. And he knows what he's asking you to let go of so you can follow him on mission. Anything that gets in the way of following Jesus is given up, brothers and sisters. That goes for me and it goes for you. As born-again people who place our faith in Jesus Christ, we're willing to give up anything. It costs us everything to follow Jesus. And I say it again, gospel ministry is hard. Well, I'm not too great a salesman yet on this, am I? It's no secret that it's hard. Following Jesus is hard. I don't know what it's going to involve for us here or what it's going to involve for you or for me, but God knows. It's hard to give up things that God is asking us to give up. But I want to say to you that it's all worth it. I want to say that gospel ministry is worth it this morning because the call to follow Jesus is made possible because he first paid the ultimate price for us. Giving up everything to follow Jesus is worth it because he first gave up everything for us. We just take some time and reflect what it meant and what it was for Jesus, what it was when he paid the price for our sins, what it was that he gave up everything for himself, that a holy God, mighty God, would come dwell with us and endure the temptations that we do and the humanity that we do and the sorrow that we do. It would have been way easier to stay up in heaven and not do that, but he did the hard thing for us. He came down. And he did the even harder thing of being physically tortured, all the barbaric things like the crown of thorns on his head and the nails through his hands. And even harder yet, bearing our sins in his body. And even harder yet, standing before the wrath of God in our place so that we wouldn't have to. And no greater love is this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. This is what Jesus has done for us. And so when we ponder how hard gospel ministry is, when we ponder how hard is it to sacrifice absolutely everything, whether it be family, whether, and family is a good thing, whether it be activities, whether even though activities are a good thing, whether it be this, that, or the other thing, we are willing to give up everything because we see the love of the one who gave it up for us all. And now, therefore, we have no condemnation because of that he gave himself up for us. Because of this, he can ask anything of us because he first paid everything for us. Looking again at verse 21 and 22, reading again, another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." See, the son, the firstborn son, sought to bury the father. Jesus was the firstborn son of God, the begotten son of God, to come and die for us. He allowed the spiritually dead to bury his dead body. Even though he's saying here, follow me and leave the spiritually dead to bury their physically dead, he allowed the spiritually dead, the spiritually bankrupt, those who did not know God, he allowed them to bury him. They allowed them to torture him. They allowed them to kill him on our behalf. This price that he is giving out here, he was more than willing to pay that price that he asked of us and went even farther. Because you know what? He did bear our sins in his body in Christ. We don't have to pay that price. He stood before the wrath of a holy God on our behalf. In Christ, we're not asked to pay that price. We're asked to give our lives for the mission of God so that others might not have to bear the sin and the consequences of that on that day of judgment. This is why we can follow him, brothers and sisters, and this is why it's worth it. And my human words cannot express how deep the love of God is and revealed in the gospel, but this is what drives us for gospel ministry. Even when it's hard, and even when it's discouraging, and even when it seems futile, even when it feels like we're giving up everything, even though when it feels like we're at the very end of our ropes, even though when we feel like we can't go any further, we can because we had a Savior who was willing to go all the way and even more than we can abundantly imagine. And therefore, when we follow him through the Spirit, this is how we follow. The call to follow Jesus involved proclaiming a message that had the power to save others. This is why it's worth it too. It's the only message that has the power to save men. It's the only message that has the power to push back darkness and bring light. While people outside of us, whether they try to do it through politics, through education, through moral this, that, or the other thing, or pulling of your bootstraps and doing more and pushing back the darkness in our communities, it will be futile because the darkness is too big for humans to push back, and gospel ministry is worth it because we have the message to push back the darkness in our community. We here at Grandview have the message to push back the darkness in our community, and it's worth it because we are ambassadors for this message. And it's worth giving up everything because it's the only message by which we can see men saved. It's the only message by which we can see ourselves saved. It's the only message by which we can see ourselves become more like Christ. And it's ultimately the message before when we stand before a holy God and when we're guilty and declared guilty, we are declared righteous and we live with him for eternity. It has that power. It's the only message that has the power to make movement to the darkness in our communities. And this is why gospel ministry is so worth it. It's worth it to give up anything. even when it's hard. It's going to be hard in our flesh to give up things, but we're going to find that it's so worth it. Whatever God calls us to give up, we do. It's to proclaim the kingdom of God. The Gospel of Luke, Luke's account puts the words a little differently, and I like how it puts it here. Luke also talks about leaving the dead to bear their own dead. Luke writes of Jesus saying, leave the dead to bear their own dead, and then Jesus says, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So we leave behind everything. We proclaim the rule of God. You proclaim what God has done in your own life. It doesn't have to be terribly complicated. When we make it complicated, then I think that prevents us from going out sometimes. We tell people what Jesus has done in our lives. We tell people what Jesus did for us on the cross. We tell for us how we are sinful and separated apart from him, but Jesus made a way. We tell them these things. We tell them, here's what the rule of God is like. Here's how it's different from our experience. And it can be really simple. It's telling people, here's what I've encountered about Jesus through the Word. Here's what I've encountered about God's rule and authority in the Word. And here's what God's authority and rule has done in my life. It can be just as easy as me telling people about the new car I bought. I'm ashamed to say sometimes it's easier when I get a new car, it's easier to tell people about that than it is Jesus. But it can be that simple. It's saying, going to someone and say, hey, listen to what Jesus is doing in my life. Listen to how he's brought me from darkness to life. Listen to how he can do that for you too. Here's how he can do it in our church, in our communities. This is a message worth proclaiming. Because Jesus first paid the price for us, we can joyfully give up everything for him because the Holy Spirit is with us. 1 Peter 4:13-14 says this regarding sufferings and regarding the difficulty of giving things up. Quote, but rejoice in so far as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So even when we share in Christ's sufferings, we can also rejoice and be glad because his glory is going to be revealed, his majesty is going to be revealed, the darkness is going to be obliterated, and the darkness in our own lives have already been obliterated through Jesus, and we can have faith in this because we look forward to his glory being revealed. Continuing, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Grandview Church, if you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul, the Spirit of glory rests on you. The Spirit of God rests on you. Accept that this morning. It's nothing that you do, it's nothing that you bring, but it's only through faith, as I read earlier from 2 Peter, it's by that faith that gives us equal standing before a holy God, that maybe some of us only have the faith of a mustard seed and we're so terrified of the darkness on the outside, but that faith the size of a mustard seed gives us a standing, an equal standing before a holy God. And the Spirit pointing you to this rests on your soul. It rests on your inner man. Be encouraged by that. Then even when it's hard to follow, you can because he's with you. Grandview Covenant Church, I don't know what God's going to call us the next 5 years. I have no idea. I do know he calls us to give up everything. I do know he calls us to proclaim the kingdom of God and the rule of God and the gospel. And how that will look will be determined over time. But be encouraged because the Spirit of God rests on you to do this. The Spirit of God rests on you to do this. We have the power to do it. We have the power to go out. In conclusion, following Jesus is costly. Telling the others is costly. Going out into our communities and going and telling the others is costly. Are we willing to do it this morning? Are we willing to go forth from here, giving up everything for the mission of God? Because he's in our earpiece saying now. It's an urgent message. There's sinners on the brink of woe. He's calling us to go now. He's calling you to go to your family now. He's calling you to go to your friends now. He's calling you to go to this community now. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to give up everything to do it? It's no secret that gospel ministry is hard, but it's made completely possible for us if we give everything to follow Jesus. And the Spirit's with us. He helps us in our weakness. It's not a do better thing. It's to let go and to follow Jesus. Follow him in gospel ministry. Follow him as people come from darkness to light. And follow him as men are made into followers of Jesus Christ. Men and women in this community and around us made to be followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.